Welcome to Conversations on Coast Access Radio. In this program, we have conversations with people about their interests, their lives, the things that motivate and excite them.
Good morning, lovely listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of Conversations. In the studio in Levin today with me, I have the fabulous Christine Nation. Now, if that name sounds familiar, then you're probably a bit of a comedy fan or you like to follow funny people on Facebook. Hi, Christine.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I just made her laugh already. Christine, I got to know via Facebook, started to follow her Facebook page called Real Life Wife. Got an opportunity to interview her a couple of years ago when I was doing my internship with The Chronicle. And found out that there's more to this lady than just doing funny videos on Facebook. So, Christine, tell us a bit of background about you. So you're a Horowhenua girl.
I am. I live on the same street I grew up on.
That wasn't intentional, though, yeah. You've just come back there.
So I did move to Palmerston North, got pregnant and came back. So I've done stuff. Yeah, I left and I've done stuff.
She moved to Palmerston North, people. That's a really big deal. Yeah. So born and bred Horowhenua.
Yep.
You're a young mum.
Yes. So I've lived in Foxton Beach my whole life. I grew up in a rest home that my family owned. And I was a young mum. So I had my first daughter at 21 and I had my second daughter at 22. I was married at 19, divorced at 24. It's been a ride.
So two girls on your own, 24.
Yep.
On your own with two girls. Not quite what you visualised when you got married at 19.
No, absolutely not. But I don't know what I visualised because who gets married at 19? With a plan.
Yeah, true. With a plan. Not me. But my mum married at 17 and had me at 19. So yeah. that was normal. Thing. So young mum, on your own at 24, where did the comedy come into it? Because I can remember my first child and there was not a lot of comedy. A lot of poos, a lot of vomit, not a lot of comedy.
That's what comedy is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Poos.
Especially poos, vomit. Yeah. So was that something you kind of fell into straight away or did you, it became like a sanity thing? You needed to see if there was anybody else out there who was going through what you were going through.
It was an accident. It was an accident. So the comedy didn't start until I was 30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't until I had my second batch of children.
Second batch. So that's true. It is a second batch.
I went on to meet an all right dude and then we decided to breed. And then what actually happened was when I had my daughters, there was no Facebook. There was Bebo. That was about the worst of it. But you kind of just would naturally parent. You just do what you do and what you knew. When I went on 10 years later to have my sons, I noticed it was a completely different world for mothers. There was a lot of like Instagram mums and look at my nursery and you have to have all these gadgets and all of this and that. And so where it came in was I had a Jew group, not a J-E-W group, but a D-U-E in April group of about 50 mums. And we were all Jew at the same time. And it was a private group. And we would just talk about everything, all the normal stuff, all the this is SHIT kind of stuff. I'm having a rough time. I'm sitting in the corner crying. There's empty boxes everywhere. And then I would go onto my normal feed, which was all like the beige brigade. And you must do this and you must do that. And it was quite a stressful place to be. So I just started making these lighthearted videos of just literally being a mum and all the emotions that came with it and posting it in that private group. But they were loving it so much that they were like, can you make it public so we can share it?
Right.
Because it just resonated. Yep. And it wasn't even really, I didn't think it was funny at the time. It was just normal stuff. Like, I think my first video was me really excited, really excited to go to Palmerston North without my kid.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, I'm at the petrol station and I can wear my hair down because no one's going to spew on it. Like, and it was like, look at me going to the toilet all by myself. Like, it was just stuff like that.
So at that stage, you're in your early 30s.
Yep.
You have the two older girls.
Yep.
So that's you've got through that, and they've turned out pretty good.
They're all right.
And they're all right. And now you've started again, and you've got a boy.
Yes.
So when you first started this wee group, it was just the one boy, right?
Yep, just the one boy.
And how many boys do we have now?
Three. There's five altogether. It's been a very expensive hobby, yes.
I love it. So when people said to you, hey, what you're saying is really resonating with me, and I think it'll resonate with other people as well, can you make it public? How did that make you feel?
To start off with, it was very weird because I was on this, this might not go down well, but I was on this I hate influencers bandwagon because I felt that they were ruining what we had and they were putting so much pressure on us. And so I went into this, I don't want to be a mummy blogger. Like, I don't want to be called that. Even now when like if the AM show or the project rings me, I'm like, you call me an influencer and I will never work with you again.
Fair enough too. And I did make a point of not introducing you as a mummy blogger. Yeah. I hope you noted that.
Yeah. But so there was a little bit of pushback for a while, but I was a stay-at-home mum with this baby and it was like, he was 6 months old when it all started and he's six now, about to turn seven. So it was like, let's give it a go. And it did take a very long time to build. So I just did the online videos and the ups and the downs and I pretty much just in real time. So it wasn't even necessarily funny half the time. I would just in real time say how I was feeling and all that kind of stuff and ups and downs. But it wasn't until Brendan Lovegrove, who is a New Zealand comedian, I had a message from a couple of people and they were like, Brendan Lovegrove is trying to get in touch with you. So I Googled, who is Brendan Lovegrove?
Well, you don't tell him that, though.
No, never. And I messaged him and I said, I think you're looking for me. And he was like, I just think that you're brilliant and I think that you could be on the stage.
So at this stage, we were just building a platform on social media.
Yeah.
We were trying to counteract those crazy influencers who are still out there,
yes,
who are making money on preying on people's fears and disbelief in themselves. And some random New Zealand comedian approaches you and asks you if you want to take it to another level.
Yeah.
Like actually do what you do, but in front of people.
Yes. Yeah, which I'm... See, that's the funny thing, because everyone would say to me, oh, God, you got balls being able to do this. But I was making these videos at home by myself. No one could see me doing it. It's kind of, I would just make this piss take video and upload it and then just see what came with it. And if you've followed me, you've seen it. The amount of hate as well that I've got,
Which amazes me that you've moved into the role that you have, job-wise. That's another story in itself. Yeah. So, yes, you're right. And so you started this. So if he's now seven, so this was late 2010s, so 2017, 2018.
He was born 2016.
Yeah.
So I started at the end of 2016, and then I got postnatal depression in 2019, and that's when, as well, it just really...
Yeah. But so 2019 postnatal depression, that was after baby number two, right?
Yes.
So before that, with the two girls... Even though, interestingly enough, I remember some things that you have shared about that time, you look at images of yourself back then and go, man, I was trying really hard to be something else.
Yes.
And you had two girls who were pretty, in relative comparison to the boys, were quite easy kids to look after. So
They were a whole different world. Yes, a whole different world. The girls, the boys are crazy. Like, boys... That they're so different.
Yeah, they are. Their whole makeup is different.
Yeah.
And so...
I've actually told you a lie.
Why?
I have. Because I didn't go in front of people first for stand-up. I was doing fundraising events for our weightlifters well before that.
That's right. So Christine's husband for many years has been a coach of powerlifters. And Christine decided to utilise her many skills to help fundraise to get these young people, and not so young people, to events across the country and then beyond.
Overseas. Yeah, overseas. So what happened was we had two that we had to get overseas because they'd qualified and it was a very short amount of time and we had to raise a massive amount of money. And I was like, I've seen people online just do gigs. We'll just sell tickets. And I'll go talk all the that I talk online, but I'll go do it in person. And I thought about 30 people would come and there were 100. And I'd never spoken in front of anyone like in my whole life. Like that. I had a bucket with me. Oh, yeah. So that was the first time.
So, but at that stage, there was a purpose to it, right? So yep. You weren't going up there, hey, look at me. I'm Christine. Yep. I'm funny.
And it wasn't actually comedy, really.
No, it was more talking about what you talk about.
Yeah.
Being a mum.
Yeah.
And how it doesn't look like had to looks on Instagram.
Yeah, just this trying to normalise everything.
Yep. Real life wife.
Yes.
Yeah. Then, as you said, unfortunately struck by postnatal depression with baby number 4, but boy number 2. And that was just before COVID.
Yes.
Yay, just before shutdown.
Yes.
You were really honest. So that's around about the time that I found you.
Yeah.
You were really honest about your journey and you obviously made that decision. Even though you were honest, it was sharing the poos and the wees and the vomit and all that kind of stuff. This was a whole nother level. So that was really brave of you to do that.
Very vulnerable.
Yeah.
But there was a reason behind it as well, because I had become so sick that I had lost a lot of weight. And so the reason that I decided to just come forward and be really honest about it was because I had had a lot of women messaging me asking how to lose weight. And I was a mess and I was crying to my husband and I was like, I can't have them think that this is good because I'm sick. Like, I'm so sick. And I knew I was sick and we were working through it and it was the physical side of things. So once I fixed my brain, the physical side of things was I was so physically anxious I couldn't eat anything and it wasn't healthy at all. So after a discussion with the family, it was, while this is private, I have to take this public because I don't want people thinking that this is goals. It's not.
Exactly. And also too, your body's different in your 30s than it is in your 20s.
Oh yeah.
So it, way easier to kind of to get the body back that you had or something resembling it,
yeah,
when you had 2 kids in your 20s compared to 30s. So the only way that this was happening was because your body was physically reacting to your mental unwellness.
I was very unwell, yeah.
So that was incredibly brave, and that's when I came across you and thought, okay, there's a few years between us, just a few, but we've both but we've been through a similar journey. But of course my journey was at a time when there was really even less social media than when you became a mum.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have people to reach out to other than your local Plunkett and that. Mm. And even some of those Plunkett mums are a bit like the influencers and the Instagrammers,
yes,
right? Because you go to those Plunkett groups and you think, oh my gosh, I'm so rubbish.
Yeah. But that's because we've been conditioned to always talk about the best things or make ourselves look good because there's so much pressure and that's the issue. Even when you do meet in person, it's not real. Like all the conversations that you have is everyone trying to come across like they're doing their best.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're doing. Particularly, I think, for our generation, there's that real pressure of do I work, do I not work, stay-at-home mum, you know, all that stuff, the guilt, so much. Guys just don't get that.
No.
They are so lucky. I'm coming back as a bloke, just saying. So we are recording our journey with postnatal depression. And we are sharing that journey with the world at a time when the world is actually way more observant because we're in lockdown.
Yeah, you guys got nothing better to do than watch me fall apart.
So that was, I mean, obviously when you first started sharing your journey around postnatal depression and being a real mum, I don't think we'd quite got into lockdown at that stage. So you didn't kind of realise how much attention would suddenly be focused on that.
Yeah. I mean, we're not even getting to the worst part because what else happened in 2019? I got pregnant again.
So with baby number 3. Oh, boy number 3.
Boy number 3.
Holy moly. So we're pregnant, we're postnataling, and we're putting it out there and everybody's at home because they're all in lockdown.
Yeah, and so this is like a real-time TV. Like, when's the next episode? Like, is this a car crash? Like, what's going on?
Exactly. Well, that was incredibly, incredibly brave of you to do that. And even to continue with it.
Yeah.
Like, because there would have been, as you said, the hate.
Yeah.
I mean, people had nothing better to do with their time. And unfortunately, a lot of that's still there.
Yeah.
People are still in that mind that they can get away with saying stuff because it's on a keyboard and it's on a screen.
What happened then, though? Why there were more eyes on it? So in lockdown, my videos started to get very gnarly because I was very bored and I attracted a lot of middle-aged white American men. I did one particular video about pizza and swapping pizza and toilet paper for some rude stuff, and it went absolutely viral. And so that's when my platform hit about 150,000 in followers, and it's kind of just carried on at that through. But
fortunately, a lot of those white middle-aged American men have dropped off.
Well, yeah, most of them, yeah, but there's still some in there that will throw dirty words my way. But yeah, that was very much a time of me sneaking out to find quiet in the backyard and just doing the weirdest videos I could just to keep people entertained.
And also, too, it was a little bit about your sanity, too.
It was healing for me. Yeah. I've always found this really healing. Like, so when I was going through the postnatal, I'm actually, that was more 2018. Now that I think about it, because, yeah, we made the decision to have Maddox because we'd just, when I got sick with Riley, we lost a whole year because he was sick as well. That's why I was sick. He had silent reflux, and that was the other thing I was able to share a lot with mums, is that it's not always what you think. Like, I've had five different kids now. They're all five different pregnancies, five different births, five different children. It's never textbook. So taking people on that journey was really good. But while we were in lockdown, I think it was also a lot of healing for me, and it's always been really important to me to let the people that follow me know that, like, they have helped me so much.
Yeah.
And when I've had questions where I've doubted myself and all that kind of stuff, and I've put it out there, like, to have all these people, like, I've got 158,000 friends.
That's awesome, eh?
Like, do you?
Oh, you're me. Yeah. So the phone call or the conversation with Brendan, did that happen during this time or was this?
Yes, it was 2019.
Yeah.
Yep.
So obviously talking, and then, of course, all that stuff got shut down.
Yes.
So did you get an opportunity to go on stage in a comedic role?
No. So what happened was he put me onto someone, Ben Caldwell in Palmerston North, who was running the stand-up comedy around here. And I got in contact with them, I don't know how many times before I actually did anything, because I had a lot of self-doubt.
Yeah.
So I would, hey, this guy's put me onto you. And they would say, well, do you want to come up? And then I'd be like, nah.
Just letting you know, I'm here.
So it was a year of toing and froing, maybe 2 years actually, to be fair. I had Maddox and I still was like, I don't think I can do it. And then Ben reached out to me and said, would you like to judge our Raw Comedy Quest in Palmerston North? So at this point, it's been 2 years. I'm still talking about it, but I'm too scared to do it.
And he's getting you to judge
people
who are stepping out of that comfort zone.
Who are braver than I, yes.
Well, no, I didn't mean it like that. But what I mean is he was a perfect opportunity to see that actually you don't die on stage.
Yeah. Just so saying. I did it. I judged it. I absolutely loved it. I was like a little kid. I was like, this is the best thing ever. And I was like, how do I do it?
Yeah.
And then, I just did my first one ever. And it was such a rush. And, I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah. So 2021, I know that you did some of the smaller, more local ones. I know that Ben does run quite a few things down in the Horowhanura, which
Foxton
is really
Beach.
Awesome. Foxton Beach is a big one for him. He's run a few in Levin itself as well. And he also has brought it through or coordinated with people who are bringing them up from Wellington as well, because I've seen that people from the Wellington region come up and people from up this way go through to Kapiti. So I've seen a few down there as well. Yeah. Over that time, you've actually connected with some bigger performances. As comedy festivals and all that kind of stuff has started to come back, you've actually moved into another level, not just down at the Ocean Beach Eatery or...
Yeah, so it evolved really quickly. And I'll be a little bit vulnerable in this as well, because I wasn't quite ready. So because I had built 5 years building my online platform, and I already had a name for myself, and I'd done a few shows that while it was a bit of mixed comedy in it, it's very different to stand-up. So still very new to stand-up, but I think a lot of managers forgot that for a bit. So I did a gig here in Levin, actually, with Ben Hurley, which went really well. And then I went into panic mode at the beginning of the year. A producer from Wellington, who I absolutely loved, emailed me and said, do you want to be on a regular lineup on a Thursday on this date, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, no, sounds cool. A couple of days later, this poster of Ben Hurley and Di Henwood went down my timeline and I saw my name on it. I was like, what? What? And so I messaged and I was like, that's not a regular lineup.
That's like two of the biggest comedy guys in New Zealand.
So that was panic central in my mind because I wasn't ready. I just knew, and if I'd known, I probably, to be fair, would have said no. So while it was a really cool experience meeting the two of them, I was not in my prime.
Yeah.
It was a sandwich. Ben Hurley went first. There was three of us for the first show. I did two shows. Three of us, Ben Hurley went, then me, then Di Henwood. And that's a lot of pressure to be in between those two when you've only just started. But,
like you said, your shows that you've produced, starting with those first couple of shows that you did to help your husband fundraise to get these powerlifters to their international meets overseas, were basically just moving your persona and from online to a stage.
Yeah, it was more chats. So even now that my personal shows have turned more into comedy, it's still my people. These are people that know who I am, and I can stand there and I can talk to them. We have conversations, and it's more of like a friendship. Whereas when you do, and it's 1 hour of me warming up, when you do stand-up comedy, you've got anywhere between 6 and 15 minutes. The manager will let you know, will let you know how much time you've got. And you've got to crack a laugh a minute and all of that. It's a lot more pressure. It's a lot more strategic. It's a lot more punchline-y. And it's a lot more stressful.
Yeah. And also, too, to be honest, people have come to see Di Henwood and Ben Hurley, and they might know who the other people are, but chances are they know the headliners.
You were at that. Which one did you come to? The first one or the second one?
I can't remember. But yes, I was there.
Yeah.
I thought you were amazing because I love you.
Oh, thank you.
That's all right.
Yeah, because there was three of us to start with, and then the second show there was five of us.
Yeah, no, it must have been the first then.
Did I?
Oh, no, it was the second show. Sorry. It was because there was five of you in total, including Ben and Di.
So that's the night I got in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For going over time.
I did 20 minutes in a 10-minute slot straight into Di Henwood's time.
Have they asked you back since?
No.
Yes, no. Jerome, the producer, he's messaged me back a couple of times. So I'm actually going down to Wellington at the end of next month on a lineup with David Carreras. So I'm doing
that. He was really funny.
Yeah, I'm doing that end of next month. And he actually had me down in Wellington last month. But he emailed me and then he sent me a gif of like Homer Simpson being pulled out with one of those like sheep. They're going to yank me off the stage. Yeah. But yeah, no,
I know better now. I know better now.
Yeah.
But that is the thing about real life anything, be it theatre, be it comedy, be it anything. It's really hard to figure out A, time.
Yeah.
And B, when you should stop and it be like a normal stop.
Because that's the thing. These were professionals. I'm being put on professional lineups and I'm not a professional. And so because I'm a newbie, I still rely on a light. Like I need someone to flash a light at me and be like, look, get off.
Yeah.
But because I'm with professionals, they don't have that. Yeah. So that's what happened that night. And I cried. So I literally cried. I was such a mess. I felt so bad. I got in my car. I broke down. I was like, I'm not ready for this. I quit comedy.
Do all those things that you do when you screw up.
But it was, I had to stop and remind myself to be kinder to myself because I was being put in positions that comedians that have been doing it for years and years and years are put in, and I'd been doing it for like 1 year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But on a more positive note,
yes,
your little stage productions that you do yourself, your 1 hour chit chats with audiences, current one called Bed Bath and Beyond? Bed, Birth and Beyond. I was thinking there's a
Don't get me sued.
No. Bed, Birth and Beyond. You've just done a performance of that in Tauranga.
Yes.
And how did that go?
Good. So the start of this year, I decided that I wanted to turn my shows into a full comedy show because I thought to myself, if I can do an hour's worth of comedy, then I can put these into festivals and galas and then I can leave the 10-minute spots and then I can start getting paid more.
It all comes down to that. Let's
I started building it at the start of the year. I went to Christchurch and Dunedin and then I figured out what worked, what didn't, and then I've just been changing it. So I went to Tauranga on Friday and it was the best experience of my whole life. So I do it all on my own. I do all the advertising, I do all the ticketing. So I got in my car and I travelled for 6 hours in complete silence. And it was the best day of my life.
No kids.
With five kids.
Nobody wants anything. It's just me. Yeah. So you left all five kids with... Oh, yeah, but the big girls are big girls.
They're teenagers. They're 14 and 15 now. Yeah. So, yeah, no, they're really good. So I went up and we had 100. We had 100 people there. We had 98 women and 2 men. And one man...
You focused on them.
One man, Regan... sat at the front. Now, it was the best story in the world because his partner had invited two of her friends and they couldn't make it and he didn't want her to go alone. So he came and he was like had to be like 27, like at least late 20s, early 30s. And he sat at the front and I hadn't even started yet. And I was like, what's your name? Because you're part of this show now.
And he was good.
He was great. Awesome. He was great. Found out a lot about him, but it was a really good night. Everyone was like feeding back, and that's what I love about the hour. You feed off people, and it's such a cool feeling to have to stop standing with your microphone and just stop because you've got to wait for people to stop laughing or like straighten themselves back up on their chairs. And it's the coolest feeling in the world.
Oh, that is so awesome!
Such a great night, yeah.
And even more exciting, you're about to go international.
Yes! So it's been really weird because I'm obviously a small town girl, lose confidence a bit of, should I? And my sister lives in Australia and she had a baby around COVID. And so I haven't been able to see her for a very long time. And her and I have been talking because I've been needing to get over. And she is one of my biggest supporters when it comes to my events. Every event I go to, I send her videos of it and photos and I'm like, ah, look how many people are here. And so she is always really gutted that she can't be a part of it. So she said, why don't we do one over here? So I have been in contact with, oh God, easily 20 venues in Brisbane waiting for someone to get back to me. And so the goal is end of October.
Cool. So any of our listeners who have any contacts in Brisbane, who have any contacts with the venues who might be interested in hosting, it's about an hour, right?
Yeah,
so you
much
need
fun.
Two or three max at the most.
Yeah,
to
it's
set
like
up
it ends up being like an hour and a half, 2 hours by the time we talk crap. And I've got some games that I play and we do a half time and, you know, got to meet up for a drink after. But yeah, it's so much fun.
Excellent. And what's the best way to get a hold of you and your comedy role and with that hat on?
Okay, so I've got an email address, which is rlwnz@outlook.com. Otherwise, I constantly check my messaging on my Instagram and my Facebook, which is Real Life Wife Christine Nation. And it's Christine with a K-R-Y, which gets everyone every time. That's my mum's fault.
It's always the mum's fault. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing, Christine. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All the best for Aussie. I'm looking forward to hearing. Before you know it, you'll be on stage with Ursula Carlson.
I hope so. I tried to get her to let me open for her, but she's too cool. She doesn't need openers.
Done it in front of Aussie audiences, maybe it'll be different. Yeah. So this has been this week's episode of Conversations. I've been chatting to Christine Nation, otherwise known as the Real Life Wife, about to take her stage show Bed, Birth and Beyond, beyond our borders, to Australia, to Brisbane. Check out her Facebook page, Real Life Wife Christine Nation, and you will appreciate just how hilarious this woman is. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Conversations on Coast Access Radio, a program where we talk with people about their lives, their passions, their interests.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.